In studio with me right now is Brent Black. He's Utah State University's Extension Fruit Specialist, and we'd love to have your questions or comments. It's 1-800-826-1495, or send us an email question, zestygarden@gmail.com. Brent, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me back.
I feel lucky getting you live on a Thursday. You're usually out in the field and pretty busy.
My schedule's a little crazy this semester.
Well, we'd love having you into the program, and I want to talk starting out with frost. So at Cache Valley, the thermometer in my lower elevation area in Hyde Park was at 31, but that was at 715, and that was in a protected spot. So
our air temperatures last night were very close to being dangerous, and the forecast is not looking really good from what I've seen over the next few days. So some things to remember is that from when the flowers are just about to open, clear through until the fruit gets up a little bit in size, it's very sensitive to cold temperatures that can damage it. When the bud temperature or that flower temperature gets down around 29, 28, you can have damage. And another thing that you need to keep in mind this time of year is that we're, at least for a lot of the Wasatch Front and parts of Cache Valley, we're right in that critical time period. And one concern to keep in mind is that the bud temperature or that flower temperature can be colder than air temperature. So you are measuring the temperature on the back of your house, and that may or may not have anything to do with the bud temperature, because it on a calm, clear conditions, the bud temperature can be 2 to 3 degrees colder than air temperature.
Okay. So I might be okay this morning.
You might be okay.
I've got peaches that are open. I don't have an apricot. I have plums mm-hmm. that are open. The apples, I'm seeing color, but
yeah,
they're not open.
The apples should be fine. And tart cherries are a little bit delayed. I know they're blooming down southern part of the Wasatch Front, so they're at a critical stage. Here in the valley, they're starting to show a little bit of white, but I think they're still far enough behind that they're going to be more likely to survive than, say, the sweet cherries, the peaches, the plums, the apricots that are even now beyond bloom. So one thing to keep in mind, there's a couple of things I want to mention about that. Number one, the Climate Center, the Utah Climate Center, which is here on campus, has a really neat service that they do for the fruit growers. If you go to their website, climate.usu.edu, and at the top there's a link that says Plant Management Tools, mm-hmm. and there's on that drawdown menu, Orchard Weather Data. You pull that up, and it has a whole series of weather stations that are located in orchards around the state, ranging from here in Cache Valley, clear down to the Washington County area.
So the one in Cache Valley is, well, there's two of them. There's River Heights, uh-huh. and then there's Greenville Farm, which right. is North Logan.
Right. And if you pull those up, you can look at current conditions. So select the Greenville one. Looks like it's down. Try the River Heights
River
one.
River Heights one, okay.
And if you look there, it'll pull up a tab down that says select current conditions. So right there. And there's a graph showing conditions back through to last night.
Oh, cool.
And then also on the right-hand side, there's a button that says, scroll down. I can't remember where it is. Okay, so there's a daily. So if you click on that, you can look at the daily lows for the last several weeks. Also on the under current conditions, one of the columns shows you the estimated bud temperature. And that's really an interesting thing to look at. The growers tell me this is more interesting than ESPN to watch this time of year. So if your livelihood depended on the weather, I think it would be much more interesting than ESPN. But so some things to look at there. If there's a weather station in your area, you can see what's going on. You can see how much. It's always a good idea to have a backyard thermometer. If the forecast is telling you that it's going to drop and you have a few trees, say smaller peach trees like the one I have, I've been watching very carefully, and I have a tarp ready. And if it's going to get down to critical temperatures, my plan is to put a tarp over my peach tree, because blocking heat loss to the sky and then on a clear night can make the difference between survival and loss of your peaches.
Wow. So if I'm reading this correct, the River Heights air temperature dropped to 25.
Let's see. I can't see your screen.
Oh, that's the dew point.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Dew
okay.
point.
Whew. All right.
You're looking at the wrong. So dew point, the reason that we track dew point.
And the higher the dew point, the better?
The better, because the other night after we had that rain, the temperature tried to drop, but it got down to the dew point and kind of stabilized, and it was able to,
okay,
to protect
so this,
us.
This is good because it looks like the air temperature in River Heights, and it's up on the bench a little bit, so it's going to be a little higher. Probably got to about 31,
which is,
it says it's up freezing, so 32, 31-ish.
Yeah.
So that's a good, but then you look back and you can see where the temperature dropped on the 14th of April to 27 degrees,
right.
Which is,
it's
damage.
It's nearing the point of damage. Now, it was before they had bloom
yes.
on these.
So
that was, when the buds start to develop, it goes, the critical temperature at which they're damaged starts out around 20, 15 degrees, and then it rises up to about 28, 29. So it kind of depends on the stage of development. And that's, and those temperatures are based on the temperature at which, say, 50% of the buds would be killed. So even if it gets down to that critical point, oftentimes does happen is you'll get flowers in certain parts of the tree, say those on the top that are exposed to the sky or nearer the ground. Oftentimes you'll get temperature gradients from the ground up through the tree. You'll lose some of the blossoms and some of the other blossoms will make it. And in the case of a peach, as you know, you can lose a lot of blossoms and still get plenty of peaches. We saw that this last winter. We had a lot of damage down in St. George area in early December. It got very, very cold. If you've been down there lately, you see all the dead palm trees all over town. But some of the trees were hardened off. We did lose a lot of peach flower buds in December, but we came through and set a surprisingly good crop. I was down there last week, and there's
quite a few peaches.
I've got quite
a few blossoms open right now on my peaches. I was surprised.
Yeah. And if you get good conditions through pollination, you can lose 90% of your bloom in the winter, 90% of your buds, and still get an adequate crop.
Because you've got to thin them out so much anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're listening to The Zesty Garden. We would like to have your questions or comments. We've got about 9 minutes left in the interview, and our toll-free number is 1-800-826-1495. That's 800-826-1495. Or send us your email question. It's zestygarden@gmail.com. So taking a look at, you know, I had a question the other day about pruning grapes, and we haven't talked for probably since last year about it, but I said just prune it heavily, but there's some great information on the extension website. But what is your recommendation for pruning grapes?
So we've talked about this a little bit in the past. There's the recommendations that I don't do a lot of research on grapes, so I rely on my colleagues around the country that spend a lot of time in vineyards, and their best recommendations is that you prune to a set number of new shoots. And each bud on a grapevine will produce a shoot called a cane. And that shoot can be 10, 15 feet long from one bud. And their recommendation is that you prune to a specific number of shoots depending on the vigor of the vine. So if the vine is vigorous and strong, it might support 30 or 40 shoots. And if it's weaker, you might only maintain 10, 15, 20. And so if you go out there and look before it's budded out, there's way, way, way more than 30 or 40 buds, and that's really all you need to survive. So what I tend to recommend is that you prune a lot of that wood out in late winter, and then you wait until buds swell. You can see which buds are going to go, and then you might do a little more detailed pruning or rub off the extra buds to get down to the target number of canes that you want to maintain.
So if you missed your late winter pruning, it's still okay to do it all right now.
Right.
The vines are going, the canes are going to weep.
Right.
And that's okay.
And that's how they behave. They're not, it's not killing them.
They try to make you feel really
bad.
Right. So, all right. So is now the time then, are the buds swelling?
So the ones here in Cache Valley, the ones that in my vine, I did my initial pruning several weeks ago, and I am not seeing a lot of movement in the buds on mine. Farther south you go, you're getting to the point where, yes, you need to be out there maybe thinning out your canes to get to the point you want. So it really depends on your location, but we're getting near that point where you got to keep an eye out.
Okay. What about as far as the different varieties? Does it make any difference? I know that if you're just doing them for juice, that might be one way of pruning versus, I don't know how many wine growers there are in the state, maybe in the Moab area especially, there would be some.
So there's a couple of things that you'll do if you're going for table grape quality or wine grape quality. And that involves both reducing the number of canes that you have and then doing some thinning, removing clusters so that you leave only one or two clusters per cane. And it's tough not to get greedy. It's a lot like apples. If you get greedy and you try and get too many, the size is going to suffer, and really the quality in grapes is going to suffer. You'll see some reduction in size, but you'll see a reduction in sugar content and color and flavor and so forth. So that's, you know, if you're just juicing them, you might be a little less selective in terms of thinning. If you're trying to get good quality wine or table grapes that you'd want to eat, then you've got to be a little more specific about thinning down and getting the number of fruit appropriate to the number of leaves that are there.
Typically, though, for pruning, you're going to be pruning out, what, 80%,
at
75
least.
To 80%
yeah,
at least?
At least 80. So, and if you've got good bud survival and a good vine, it may be 95% of last year's growth is going to be pruned off.
What if you have an arbor that has not been pruned in a while? Can you still prune that much out?
You can.
All
so
at once?
So what you want to do is prune heavily and try and get some new. You don't want to cut all of last year's wood off because you may or may not have buds that you want to grow. And so if you prune it hard and try and get some new buds to break on the old vines, then you can prune more back and use those to regenerate your fruiting wood.
Okay. We have about 7 minutes left, 6 minutes left. If you'd like to get in a question or comment, it's 1-800-826-1495 or go to send us an email question, zestygarden@gmail.com. And one of the things I wanted to make sure we got to today are talking about strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
I have two different kinds of strawberries. And they're fairly close to each other, the two different beds. One looks completely anemic, and I know it needs to have iron. The other one looks just fine.
Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit of variation in how tolerant varieties are to our alkaline soils. And this kind of brings up another topic that I wanted to maybe sneak in, and that you were talking earlier with Kelly about irrigation. Turf is drying out. We've had some dry, warm conditions. In terms of fruit trees and berries and so forth, before you put water on this spring, I would strongly recommend that gardeners dig down maybe 8 or 10 inches into the soil and see how wet the soil is down deeper. One of the mistakes that is often made is you see that surface soil dry out and you think, oh boy, I've got to get water on. And if we've had snow like we've had in the winter and the tree hasn't really leafed out, sometimes that deeper soil, say 8 to 10 inches down, is still very, very wet. And if we start to irrigate and further wet that soil and keep it cool later, it's going to inhibit the plant's ability to take up iron. So really, I mean, maybe time to start irrigating your grass, but before you start putting water on your trees and on your raspberries and so forth, dig down and see what the soil moisture is down a little bit deeper. If there's still a lot of water down there, hold off. I'm not saying that everyone needs to hold off. It's going to depend on your soil type and what's been happening this spring. But be careful about that because you can make your iron chlorosis worse by over-irrigating in the spring. But yes, if you're seeing yellowing on your strawberries, even in fruit trees now, as the buds break and you see the new leaves developing, if they're looking very yellow, you need to get some iron on them right away.
And can you put just spikes around the drip line of fruit trees anyway? Or should, I mean, I've seen the ones where you actually drill into the trunk and put something in there. That kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, that's one I do not recommend. It works, but there's too many risks with diseases and with damaging your tree. If it's a stone fruit, you're going to get a lot of sap weeping out of that wound and a lot of other issues. Really, the best bet is to get a good chelated iron, mix it up in a bucket of water and put it on as a soil drench, and so that it's down into the roots and with a high concentration of chelated iron.
Would you do that from the trunk out to the drip line or just around the drip line?
I would do it at the drip line and a little bit in from the drip line around the tree.
All right. Well, I've got 100 other questions, but we're running out of time, so thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me back.
You've been listening to The Zesty Garden. Brent Black has been my guest. He is the Extension Fruit Specialist for Utah State University. Coming up next is Nancy Williams with Petals and Prose.